is this man Jesus? I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 20 today. Matthew chapter 20 and 21. And what I'm going to do first of all here is I'm going to relate to you the events that took place surrounding the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. And what I want us to do is as we go through these events, I would like us to discern the different kinds of people that were here on this day, that were surrounding this event, that were privy to this event. And what we're going to do is we're going to then examine these different people and their answers to this question of who is this man? Who is Jesus? So what I'm going to do, this story is related in all four Gospels, and it's related differently. So what I'm going to do, in the best of my ability, is relate to you the story as it might have happened, using different passages from the four different Gospels. I tried to go through and order them chronologically. The majority of them are going to be in Matthew, so that's why I have you turn there in Matthew chapter 21, or 20. Let's begin at verse 29. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 says this, "And as they departed from Jericho," and I just want to make a note here, as they departed, this is the disciples and a crowd of people that are on their way to Jerusalem for the feast. Which feast? The Passover. Just a little history here. People needed to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. And so every year they would make the trip to that city. And they would travel all the roads and converge upon this great city. The week prior, probably this day, Sunday, they would be purchasing and getting their Passover lambs in preparation for the feast. The way Passover went is they would get the Passover lamb on the 10th day of the month. On the 14th day of the month, they would slay the lamb, and then on the 15th day, it would be eaten. And if you look at the timeline there, on Sunday, Jesus enters into Jerusalem. On Thursday, he is put under trial. On Friday, he dies. And it is very closely related to the events that surround Passover. So we have a group of people surrounding Jesus. They're departing from Jericho. Verse 29, "A great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them, and he said, 'What will ye that I should do unto you?' And they say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And what did they do? They followed him." Verse 1 of chapter 21. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, 'Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and the colt the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. and brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And now reading from Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 39. Just listen to this. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of your visitation. Matthew 21 verse 10 continues on and says this, And when he was come into Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, saying, and here's our question, who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And then John chapter 12 verse 19 adds this, The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the whole world has gone after him. And then verses 12 and 13 of chapter 21 of Matthew, he says, And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Heavenly Father, thank you for these scriptures and how they relate to us a powerful event that took place in your life when you were here on earth. And God, my prayer is that today as we look at this event, the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, that we would be challenged and that we would be able, Lord, to answer the question, who is this man, Jesus? With the answer that he is our Savior and our Lord. God, give me this morning the words to speak, and guide us as we seek to understand your truths and why this took place. In your precious name, amen. There was a reason that I went over with the story of Zacchaeus with our children, because Zacchaeus, this story took place in Jericho just prior to our Lord Jesus healing the blind men and coming into Jerusalem. And if you remember the Lord Jesus, how he related with Zacchaeus there in Luke chapter 19. You see, Zacchaeus climbed a tree looking for Jesus. But Jesus walked under the tree and he found Jesus, saw him. They went to his house together. And that day Zacchaeus' life was changed. And then in chapter 19 of Luke, the Lord Jesus says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost. And then what we see next is we see him healing these two blind men. I want you to think of Zacchaeus and the blind man in this situation. These dear people, were people that had their lives changed as a result of their interaction with our Lord Jesus. When we think and ask this question, who is this man Jesus? We ask this question to the blind man. Blind man, who is Jesus? And I believe as he sat there, his eyes darkened and he hears Jesus coming by and he's heard the testimonies and the incredible stories about this great man. He remembers back to his youth and remembers back to his training in the scriptures and he remembers the prophecies of the Messiah. And I believe that it is for this reason that this blind man and his partner, they cry out and they say, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." You see, that term, "thou Son of David," is a term used for the Messiah. Because what it denotes is that this man is the coming king. This man is the one in the line of our King David, our greatest king, the one who is to rule and to reign. But these blind men, they look at Jesus and they see him as Lord, their Lord. "Have mercy on us." And the compassion of our Lord, he stops and he says, "What would you have me to do for you?" And they say, "Lord," catch this, "that our eyes may be opened." Listen, dear ones, may we relate this to our spiritual lives. And may we relate this to the spiritual darkness that surrounds us today. There are people all around us that are in darkness. And you and I, at one point in our lives, just like Zacchaeus, was in darkness. But interaction with the Lord Jesus and understanding that he is more than just a mere man, more than just a political ruler, that he is the coming Messiah, the one sent from God, our Lord, opened our eyes. You see, there's several different people here in this story, and I want us to understand that, first of all, there's people here. The interaction with Jesus caused their eyes to be opened. Their eyes to be opened and their lives to be changed forever. You see, today, the triumphant entry. It's a holiday. It's on our calendar. It's on everybody's calendar throughout America. And maybe like Resurrection Day, maybe people feel compelled to come to church on Palm Sunday. And then next week on Resurrection Day. But our prayer is that people will not just look at this event as a great event that took place in the life of Jesus, but look at this event as the introduction, as Jesus' formal introduction of himself as the Messiah. And this event, and we cannot miss this, this event is surrounded by people's lives being changed as they are touched by our Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus. His life was full of robbing from the poor, taking what was not his. And now his life, he's giving to the poor. His life has been changed forever as a result of his interaction with the Lord Jesus. The blind man sitting along the road in physical darkness comes to understand that this is the Lord Jesus coming by. They come, they leave their place of begging, and they come, "Lord Jesus, we desire that our eyes be opened." And the Lord Jesus, having compassion upon them, he heals them, gives them their sight, opens their eyes, and you see that their lives are changed and they follow Him. Who is Jesus? He is one that if you get close to Him and you open yourself up to Him, your eyes are going to be opened and your life is going to be changed. There's people out there today. They're at a point in their life where they're desperate. They're darkness. They're blind. They want to see. They want to know the truth. They hear about Jesus. They want to know more. These are people that the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, has been working on their life. You were at this point one time. And do you remember what happened? When you presented yourself to Jesus, when you opened yourself up to Him, your eyes were opened and your life was changed. Listen, dear ones, may we not forget the glory of that moment. For I believe it is God's desire that we glory in that moment forever. Do you think the blind men quickly forgot what happened that day? I believe their lives were changed forever. Do you believe that Zacchaeus, his family, the people that were around him, forgot what took place that day? His life was changed forever. He was a different man. So we see that people are surrounding Jesus. He interacts with Zacchaeus and the blind man. And then he comes nigh into Jerusalem. A little geography to help us picture this. And I have never had the opportunity of going to Israel, but someday maybe. But the books, the atlases, the stories, they tell me that Jerusalem is on a hill. And that there's a deep valley that separates the hill of the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is directly to the east of the city of Jerusalem. In the middle is a great valley. The Mount of Olives, they tell me, is several hundred feet higher than that of the city. So it is, from what people tell me, that you can stand on the Mount of Olives and you can look down into the great city, Jerusalem. At the foot of the Mount of Olives are these two different towns, Bethany and Bethphage. Just small little villages. And it is approximately 1 to 2 miles that separates these villages in the Mount of Olives from this city of Jerusalem. So I hope that this you can picture with me as the Lord Jesus draws nigh into Jerusalem, verse 1 of chapter 21 of Matthew. He draws near to Jerusalem and he's come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives. So I believe he's there, he's come up the Mount of Olives, and he's there within 1 or 2 miles of the city. It is there that he then dismisses two disciples. As I was studying this week, I tried to put my mind in the place of the disciples. They've been with Jesus now for about 3 years. And they've seen His miracles, they've seen His works, they've heard His teaching. And I think many of us quickly assume that the disciples were all on board with everything that Jesus was doing. I'm not so convinced. I think it was a process for them. I believe they left all and forsook their families and followed Jesus because they knew that He was a different man. They knew there was something special about Him. But I believe it was the process of the ministry throughout those years, culminating finally in the resurrection, that finally brought them to full understanding of who the Lord Jesus was. And so, being chosen by the Lord Jesus, they saw fit to follow Him and work with Him and be a part of Him and to share His message. But I think as this story, he sends two of them into the city. We don't know exactly who two of them were, but he says, go in and get a donkey and bring it back out here. A donkey and a colt that had never been ridden on. And what is fascinating is the faith of these men. Because they have come to the point now that the Lord Jesus says something, they're believing him. Because what do? They go into the city, don't ask anybody, they just go in and say, there's a donkey and a colt, they go, untie it, and start to walk out, and somebody says, hey, where are you going? Why are you untying that colt? And I love this response. The Lord has need of them today. The Lord has need of them. What do you think this did in the heart of disciples? For what they have just seen was they've seen the omniscience of the Lord. They bring back the donkey and the colt exactly the way the Lord had said it would happen. So, who is Jesus? He's one that will change your life forever. He's one that knows all things. Because that day, and I don't think the disciples fully understood this, that day the disciples were part of God fulfilling prophecy. Zechariah 9:9. You can turn there with me near the end of the Old Testament. I want you to see this. Zechariah, a prophet, several hundred years prior to our Lord Jesus being on the earth, and he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. I don't think the disciples realized the impact that they were having there on history, to be a part of a fulfillment of prophecy. For prophecy and the fulfillment thereof is one of the greatest testimonies that our Lord Jesus was who he said he was. For the scriptures from ages past declared him to be true. The disciples, they were a part of this great event. It says in John chapter 12, verse 16, it says this, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. That's John's testimony right there. John's testimony. That he didn't realize the incredible things that they were a part of. Until Jesus went to be to heaven. He was glorified. And they finally realized the puzzle pieces all went together. The picture was opened up before them. And they realized and they saw, wow, we were a part of God's great work on this earth. Simply by our involvement with this man, Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's one that changes your life forever. He's one that knows all things. I believe this eternally impacted the lives of the disciples, at least the ones who opened themselves up to fully understanding who he was. Because we know one of them, very, very near, very in just a couple days, denies our Lord Jesus, and then another betrays him. So we know our disciples here at this point don't fully have a comprehension of all these things. It's a process. But the Lord Jesus here, fulfilling prophecy, riding in meekness on the back of a colt. You know, this was a picture, folks. This is a picture of him riding on a donkey. You picture that. You see drawings of it. They teach us in Sunday school as children. This picture of Jesus riding on a donkey is that of he's a king in peacetime. You know, a king would ride into a city on a horse and be ready for war. If a king were to ride into the city on the back of a donkey, it was a sign that there was peace in the land. And the Lord Jesus deliberately chose this day and deliberately chose to ride on the back of a donkey, deliberately allowed people to praise him as the Messiah openly, because God wanted to make a statement that day of who Jesus really was. You see, those things needed to happen to fulfill these prophecies, and so that Jesus could fully present himself to the world, to Jerusalem as Messiah. What a powerful picture. We need to understand the fact the people that were surrounding him, the multitudes, they were caught up in the excitement of the day. They had just seen him heal people. They had just seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. All of these incredible events taking place. People are excited to be around Jesus. They surround him. They praise him. And I believe is another group of people here is the multitude coming into the city, praising him for being their king and political ruler, but they miss the fact that he is their savior. They miss it. The blind man, Zacchaeus, their lives are changed forever. The disciples, they have been with Jesus. They have heard his teaching. And I believe they are at a point where they are believing him, but they still have yet to understand him fully. But the multitude have heard about the great things that he has done. They know that the Messiah is to come and to set up his earthly kingdom. And so they praise the Lord Jesus, and he comes into the city and they sing his praises. Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, thou son of David. And what's very interesting is that this very song that they sing is a song that they sang every year going up to Passover and celebrating that meal. For you know that Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 is a part of the Passover celebration. And these very words that they sing to him as he enters the city come from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. These very words they now are claiming and singing to Jesus. But I don't believe they fully get it. Why? Why? I believe, first of all, their testimony. Because what do they say in verse 11 of chapter 21? He says, when the people in the city ask him, who is this? The multitude says, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I believe the multitude had a misconception about who Jesus was. He was coming to set up their kingdom, deliver them from Rome. He had a lot of good things to say. He was a great teacher. He did many great works. But they missed the heart of his message. They missed the heart that he could change their lives forever if they trusted in him. You see, people, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a prophet. He was a great man. And many people today sit in our churches and think those things and believe those things to be true about our Lord Jesus. But listen, our Lord Jesus was more than that. He was a Savior. The Jewish people, their salvation they found, they thought, in the law. Year after year, they would go and sacrifice, seeking to cover their sin. But see, God in His ultimate plan designed it so that the Lord Jesus, on the day that He gave of His life, would bring a culmination to the law, to the fact that He would fulfill the law, and that He being the ultimate sacrifice, therefore people no longer needing to do these sacrifices every day, but rather to trust in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, and therefore be changed forever. That's the beauty of the Lord Jesus. That's why He came, that He might fulfill the law, so that you and I can be changed forever. Our eyes be opened. One final group of people that I do not want to miss is those that are the Pharisees. For the Pharisees had played a very real role in the life of Jesus. You see, the blind men, their eyes were opened. The disciples, their eyes were sharpened. The Pharisees, their eyes were blinded. And it's a sad fact to sit there and read and watch and sit there and think about the Pharisees as they watch Jesus going by. Master, rebuke your disciples. Do you hear what they're saying? The Pharisees knew. They're attributing to you that you are God, that you are the Messiah, the coming one. Tell them to be quiet. Don't they see it? They heard His teaching, but they were content in their tradition. They were content in their religion. And listen, folks, you and I, there are people all over this country that are content in their tradition, content in their religion. It may be in a church, but they're missing it. They're missing the Lord Jesus. I say it a lot. It all comes back to Jesus. People believe in God, but who is Jesus to them? There's a difference. Jesus is God who's come to earth to save us from our sins. What did Jesus say? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are lost. There is a big disconnect today between people that they believe in God, but they do not see Him as somebody that has come to seek and to save them. Lord Jesus, that is our mission. Help us. It is our mission to help people understand who Jesus is. So today, and it's not my purpose just to relate a story to you and refresh your mind about what took place Palm Sunday many, many years ago. I believe God's purpose today is to remind us of who Jesus is. And remind us, believer, of the importance, the centrality of having Jesus as a part of our life, a part of our testimony. Who is Jesus to you today? You know, there's so much more we could cover, and I spent hours studying through this, and there's a ton of content. There's parables that the Lord Jesus relates these truths. But bottom line, folks, today, who is Jesus? First of all, in your life, who is He? And I am convinced that the gospel should not have just a temporary impact in your life at the point of salvation, but it should have an impact daily, as Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. Every day, that should impact your life and make you different. Every day. Don't just leave the gospel at that day 17 years ago at an altar at the front of a church or kneeling beside your bed with your mom. Yes, the gospel first impacted your life that day. But I trust, just as the blind men could then see, that you rejoice in the sight that you now have of the Lord Jesus in your life. And secondly, dear ones, we are surrounded with people. We are surrounded with people that they are blinded. They are content. They're content in their traditions, their religion. They do not understand the Lord Jesus and who He is. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, help us know how to share with them who Jesus is. And Lord, would You work in their life that they might ask that question themselves? That's what it took for you and me, right? The Spirit of God working in your life, bringing you to the point of you had to make a decision about who He really is. So, dear ones, today is a day of celebration. It's a celebration of the Lord Jesus presenting Himself for who He really is, the King. Yeah, He didn't set up His kingdom right away. But there's more than the fact that He's the King. He's the Savior. And so today, as you go from this place and celebrate and do whatever special events you might have, celebrate the fact that you serve a King, but that He is your Savior. And this should bring us with great anticipation to our time this week, as we once again remember the events that took place just a few days from now. Lord Jesus, I am just amazed how every message comes back to You. Lord, you know, in my own feeble way, I could try to say things differently, and I could try to word things so it doesn't always end up the same place. But Lord, that is not Your way. For God, I am convinced You desire the Lord Jesus to be the central part of our life. And what You've done upon the cross to impact us every day. Lord Jesus, You entered the city of Jerusalem that day. You wept over it. You demanded glory. For if the people would have been quiet, Lord, the stones, Your creation would have cried out for the sheer fact that the creation knows that You are God. Oh, Father, may we not miss the fact that today You are God, You are our King, You are our Savior. And Lord, may we also seek to share with people these truths, that there is more to today than a date on the calendar, but that it is a time to celebrate who Jesus really is. In Jesus' name, amen.